It's Christmas time, and film critic Stephen Schiff says this means it's time for director Oliver Stone to do what he often does for the holidays, release the most controversial movie of the year.
Here's what it's like to watch all 3 hours and 15 minutes of JFK. It's like going into a bar. There's a guy there, a little tipsy, but he wants to tell you about his big JFK assassination theory. He bends your ear for a while, but his theory's pretty good. He's got you going. And just when you're beginning to believe, he says, "And now let me tell you the hidden truth about UFOs." In JFK, as in most of his films, Oliver Stone doesn't know when to quit. Using a jangly, fast-moving combination of archival footage, fake archival footage, and classy detective-style storytelling, Stone shows us how New Orleans District Attorney Jim Garrison fought to disprove the Warren Commission report, the report that attributed the assassination to a single deranged killer, Lee Harvey Oswald, and finally, a single, fairly deranged bullet ricocheting all over the place. The theory of a lone gunman is pretty easy to refute, and Stone, through Kevin Costner's portrayal of Jim Garrison, does a crackerjack job. But then he also wants us to believe that Kennedy was killed by a gigantic conspiracy involving the CIA, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, a squad of anti-Castro Cubans, and even then-Vice President Lyndon Johnson. Furthermore, he tells us that the same conspiratorial octopus was responsible for the assassinations of Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy, and that the reason for John Kennedy's murder was that the president was going to end the Cold War and pull us out of Vietnam and do all sorts of other wonderful things that would have displeased the military-industrial complex, and that there's also very little evidence for. It's a lot to swallow, and Stone makes the medicine go down by cheating. On a simple level, he stages scenes like this one, in which Garrison's staff tries to figure out what their boss is telling them.
"I'm lost, boss. What are we saying here?"
"We're saying that when Oswald went to Russia, he was not a real defector. That he was an intelligence agent on some kind of mission for our government and remained one until the day he died. That's what we're saying."
"Therefore, because Oswald pulled the trigger, the intelligence community murdered their own commander-in-chief. Is that what you're saying?"
"I'll go you one better, Bill. Maybe Oswald didn't even pull the trigger. Nitrate tests indicate he hadn't even fired a rifle on November 22nd. And on top of that, they didn't even bother to see if the rifle had been fired that day.
He had his palm print on the weapon."
"Well, it went to the FBI, Bill. FBI didn't find a damn thing. It comes back a week later, and one guy in the Dallas Police Department suddenly finds a palm print. For all we know, it could have been taken off Oswald in the morgue. There's no chain of evidence."
"Yeah, I never could figure out why this guy orders a traceable weapon to this post office box when he can go into any store in Texas, give a phony name, and walk out with a rifle which can never be traced."
"To frame him, obviously."
Now, as you're hearing Garrison talk about the palm print, you also see, in grainy, real-looking black-and-white footage, a stealthy figure actually putting the dead man's print on the rifle. Sure, you know it's only a movie, but you can't ignore what you've witnessed. Later, when the forces of cover-up argue against it, something in you is buzzing, "Wait a minute, I saw it happen." That's how Stone operates. And he does a lot of other tricky things. In order to make Garrison a hero, he whitewashes the New Orleans DA's frequently shady and even harebrained practices. He distorts facts and creates fictions, and then harangues the audience about the importance of truth. In the movie's worst scene, Garrison delivers an endless, teary courtroom summation in the one assassination conspiracy case he did bring to trial. The summation sledgehammers the same points home yet again for those dimwits who didn't get them the first time. In real life, of course, Garrison didn't even give the summation, and in fact, wasn't in the courtroom at the time. One could spend hours refuting Stone's arguments point by point, not to mention the saggy, cliched scenes in which Garrison's wife, played by Sissy Spacek, whines about how he's neglecting her and the kids, and not to mention Kevin Costner's performance, which is less lackluster than usual, but not by much. And yet, there's one other thing that's worth pointing out. That JFK features some of the most innovative and accomplished movie-making of Stone's career. Like it or not, this dishonest and in many ways hypocritical movie is utterly gripping from beginning to end.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for Vanity Fair.